Okay, I've done my duty. We are recording. And now we're turning to Revelation. Okay. Revelation chapter 17. Do I have a Bible?
Yeah.
I'm so used to using my phone, I don't even know what's going on sometimes. So, okay, Revelation chapter 17. I want to look at this last verse. Somebody read the last verse.
And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth.
Okay, let's identify that city.
Babylon?
Yeah. And it's not the literal Babylon. What is it? This is a book of signs. So one thing represents another. So what does Babylon represent?
The mother of the harlots.
Okay, it's the mother of the harlots, kind of. But the thing is, what is that representation of? Think of Babylon. What's the definition of the word Babylon?
Jerusalem was captured, the Tower of Babel. Great confusion.
Okay. There's two of them there that I want to pull out. The Tower of Babel. Tell me about the Tower of Babel.
They were all not getting along.
Why were they not getting along?
Because they wanted it their way.
Well, but they were getting it their way. Okay, they were building this tower and they were working together, and so they were getting along. What happened to get it to where they couldn't get along?
God set up and scattered.
How did he scatter them?
Made them all speak different tongues.
They made them speak different languages, different tongues. Okay, and so when you're trying to work together and I'm speaking in French and you're speaking in English, how does that work? Not very well, because I'm speaking in French and you're saying, what did he say? And you're speaking English and I'm saying, are you sure? I don't know what you're talking about. Okay. And so it's confusion. Okay. And so what does confusion do?
Creates chaos.
It creates chaos. Okay, and in this passage, what does that great city, Babylon, Babel, confusion, reign over?
Kings of the earth.
Okay, now the kings of the earth, as I'll look, I'm going to bring it out in the next chapter, but we'll notice it here as well. The kings of the earth is a sign, and it could be looked at as the kings of the earth, and then it... What else is referred to as kings?
Jesus was a king.
Yeah, but what else? There's more to that.
They ruled.
Who?
The king rules the people.
Okay, but... There's another symbolic thing about kings.
Is it dominion, monarchy?
Well,
power?
That's involved with it, but what I'm looking at is who else is referred to as kings?
We are.
The faithful of God. All right? And so notice that as we look at this, even the faithful, and as we looked at other passages that it talked about the faithful being deceived. Okay? And so even of your own selves, and the Apostle Paul was talking to the elders of the church in Ephesus. The elders, these are the spiritual giants in a congregation. The leaders, even among yourselves, shall men arise, speaking perverse things, drawing away the disciples after them. Even the spiritual leaders are deceived, or can be deceived, and even lead other faithful members away from God. Is that pretty scary? So kings of this earth, I think, can be taken of in two sentences. Okay? Let's look at one. We've been looking at this as denominational error, and it fits with everything, okay? So we've looked at all the details as we come through, and the most fitting thing is denominational error. One denominational error that has deceived the kings of this earth is premillennialism. The belief that Jesus is coming back and he's going to reign on this earth for 1,000 years. Now, we'll get to chapter 20 and we'll debunk that nonsense, and we've already done it in different ways throughout this study. But because of a lack of understanding that the church today is spiritual Israel, the kings of this earth have spent billions of dollars taking Israel back to Jerusalem and giving them a homeland, because the kings of this earth have in their mind that if they're behind this nation that Jesus says that he's going to make them, he's going to reign from Jerusalem, so we've got to fix it for him, okay? And that we're going to try to help God return Israel back to Jerusalem, and we don't even understand Jerusalem, which is above, okay? Romans or Galatians chapter 4. And we are the citizens. Jesus is now reigning on the throne of David. And so the kings of this earth have been swept into this confusion because they don't look what the Bible says. See, we've got to rightly divide. What's that passage in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15? Somebody read that.
Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Okay, study to show yourself approved, or give diligence. Okay, and so studying is a way that you got to give diligence if you want to study. Okay, and that both terms are proper within that word. Study to show yourself approved. A man of God that needs not to be ashamed, doing what?
Rightly dividing.
So can you wrongly divide?
Yes.
And so how do you keep from wrongly dividing?
Study.
You study. Okay. And so I remember that he'd been gone too long. I can't remember his name. No. After him. He moved, got married, and moved to...
Oh, Clayton.
Okay. I made a comment on this thousand-year reign one time in a lesson, and he got all concerned because he'd always heard that Jesus is going to come back and reign for 1,000 years. Okay? 1,000 years is spoken of in a book of what? Signs. Okay? So we went and we spent a lot of time at the coffee shop studying what the Bible actually says. And it was so amazing to me because it's something you don't see very often. As we came to the close of the study, he said, he ain't coming back for 1,000 years. He's already reigning. And we're in the 1,000 years. And so he was very honest in that he saw that. But see, confusion leads us down the wrong road. And this whore is deceiving the kings of this earth. She's bringing confusion. Okay? And so basically, if we're saying that Jesus is going to come back and reign for 1,000 years, you know what we're actually saying?
He's
not here now. He needs help. What did he come to do? To set up his kingdom. Seek and save lost, but to set up his kingdom. Okay, he said in Mark chapter 9, verse 1, that there be some of you standing here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. Premillennialism says that he failed. He's got to come back sometime in the future to set up his kingdom. My Jesus didn't fail. I don't know about yours. So confusion. Okay. So if we don't put these verses together and rightly divide, we're going to be ashamed, okay? We're part of those that are deceived by the great whore. Now, this is a very scary thing, and the thing is, but it's a reality that we've got to look at some of these things. And so, you know, guys, we just need to be honest enough to come to the Bible and look at what it says. Because if we're a Christian, we are in essence, Revelation chapter 1, kings. We can be deceived. We can fall into that. As well as can the kings of this world in which we live, the nation and beyond. Okay, so now let's read chapter 18. Now, basically, we finished with chapter 17, and it's talking about this period of time that leads up to the judgment day. And so we are in the last days. We have been in the last days since Jesus died on the cross. Okay? We had the patriarchal age, lasted about 2,500 years or so. We had the Mosaic age, which lasted about 1,500 years. And now we're in the Christian age. There's three separate ages of time. The Christian age is the last age. It's the last days. There's not going to be another age. There's no other hope that's coming. Okay? So we're in the last days. When this culminates, then it's the judgment day. All of this that we enjoy, including our Cadillac, is going to be burned in my airplane. It's all going to be burned up. It will no longer exist. You know, me and Kenneth feel about the same, don't we? We don't want to see our toys burned up. But you know what? We're going to have a whole lot better toys and a whole lot better place because we'll be in heaven, right?
And we don't take them with
us. That's right. We don't take them with us. And I'm glad because then I won't have any leaky gas tanks. Yeah, it won't be enough room. All right. And so at any rate, this world is all going to culminate and come to an end. And basically, as we get to the end of 17 and begin to go into 18, we're looking at the end. Okay? And so there's no more chance to repent. There's no more chance to turn. There's no more chance to go back and say, I think I'll do that different. Because it's too late. Now, there'll be some pictures in here that will, it seems as I look at them, that it kind of goes back and refers to that period of time. And it's telling us that are still living in that period of time, you better wake up and repent now. Because that day is going to come on you as a thief in the night. Now, when we die, that day, in essence, has come on us. It's too late. All right? And if Jesus were to come right now, it'd be too late. Okay? Everything that we have up until this point, okay, if we haven't done what God says, it's too late to change. And so keep that in mind. And so 18 is both a picture of the judgment day, and it's an exhortation to you and I to live for God and do what is right. And so, as we get into this, let's just read verses. Somebody read verses 1 through 3. Revelation 18, 1 through 3.
After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven.
All right, now I want you to notice here. I want you to see the transition. Sorry to interrupt there, but I think it's important. You notice the transition. And it's kind of like if you want to relate it to a play, all right? Act 1, Act 2. There's Act 1, Scene 1, Act 1, Scene 2, Act 1, Scene 3. Okay, so basically, you notice how it words it. Read that first phrase.
After these things.
Okay, so in other words, he's making a transition. He's seen this. He's seen all that. Now, after these things, keep going.
I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury.
Okay. You notice this picture. You notice here it says, he came down from heaven having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. The entire earth. He cried mightily with a strong voice. What did he say?
Babylon is fallen.
Babylon is fallen. It's fallen. What's Babylon? Okay. But it's a picture. It's a sign. What's it represent?
Confusion.
Confusion. Confusion's over. Okay. All this confusion. Oh, all of a sudden. You know, on the judgment day, I don't think there's going to be any confusion. Now, we might want to argue with God, but every knee will bow to Jesus on the day of judgment. I think, personally, and of course, we'll find out when we get there, but to me, I see the picture of the judgment day as a time where, oh no, I've waited too long. The confusion's over. You know, it just seems as though whether it's in the spiritual realm or maybe it's just my figment of my imagination. I know there we can argue with God on Day of Judgment. It won't do any good. Okay, I see that in the scriptures, but it seems to me that there's an enlightening. I wish I'd have done it before.
Yeah, like the light bulb comes on.
Yeah, light bulb. You know the idea. You know the light bulb comes on, and all of a sudden, yeah, we're no longer spiritually blind, but we actually see and understand. But so at any rate, all of a sudden, this confusion is destroyed. So this great confusion, where the idea is, we all believe different things, and we're just going to heaven by a different path. Jesus said there's one path. Now, we have different paths. I think we talked about the other day the path to get to that path. And I think that's a good point, all right? Because I look at some of the things that have transpired in my life that they've helped me to come to where I need to be. And I think, don't we all kind of see that? Okay? Now, there's only one way to heaven, all right? Remember what it says in John 14 and verse 6? You remember that one? Yeah, and keep going. How much of that can you quote? Go to John 14.
And if it were not so, I would have told
you. Yep.
In my house are many mansions.
Right.
Yep. Keep going. Let's just turn to John 14 and let's read 1 through 6. I don't think I can quote it anymore either. I quit quoting because of some of the challenges with it. Okay, John 14. And so somebody start reading in verse 1.
Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God.
Wait a minute. We're not all there. That's the wrong John.
Yeah.
Page 97.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, go.
Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know nor not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me.
Okay, Jesus said, I am what?
The way, the truth, and the life.
The way. How many ways is that? He says, I am
the way.
The way. I am the what?
The truth.
The truth. How many truths are there? Okay. I am the life. There is no other. Confusion is when we look at the Bible and we say different things. We say there are many ways. to heaven. Now, I love that point that Brenda made. I think it's so valuable. And she talked about, and for those of you who heard Wednesday, I think it was Wednesday you made that, and it was an illumination to me. There are many ways to get there, to that way. Now, the thing is, and the point about what she was making was, there are many ways to get to that way that Jesus says, okay? And each of us have our own stories to tell about the road that we have traveled, okay? We've all got our own history that got us to where we're at, okay? And so, but those are ways to bring us to the way that Jesus left. And I think, I see that as God working in our lives. And I think all of us here, we've discussed, I think I've discussed with each of us, you know, when you've discussed with me, we've talked about the challenges in our life that have kind of woke us up and brought us to where we're at. And we're thankful that God has brought us to here, okay? But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. Now, I'll tell you a truth that is so ignored. You ever hear people say, I don't need to go to church? You ever hear that? I don't need to be there.
Yep.
But what does God say?
We're supposed to be here.
Yeah, let's go to Hebrews 10. See, and this just shows that and really, guys, it's just a lack of understanding and accepting what the Bible says. We've got to look at what it says. Okay, and so it's very prevalent in the religious world to say that, you know, I can go to church if I want. I don't have to if I don't. It's just no big deal. I had this discussion with an individual just the other day, but somebody read verse 25. And 24 and 25. Hebrews 10, page 196. Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25.
Now let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some people is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching.
Okay, so notice here he says, what are we not to do?
Forsake
the assembling of ourselves together. So, but we've got people that in the religious world says, it don't matter if you go to church or not. You can go if you want. You don't have to if you don't want. You hear that, right? Okay. So who's right? What is right? The Bible's right. Okay, so let's look at this. Let's say that, how do we agree on that? What do we have to do? Alicia?
I was just saying, I think the problem is, I think, with churches and maybe some of this town is that they get tired of the hypocrisy.
Oh, I hear that all the time. I get people that tell me they're sick to death of organized religion. I say, me too. Okay?
And they just don't attend because that's all they know.
Well, and I think that's what they're doing. They're not because that's what they know. That's what they've been taught. I agree. But the fact of the matter is, we've got the truth, okay? And then we've got Babel, which is confusion, Babylon. And so when we've got people teaching that it doesn't matter whether or not you go to church, and we've got the Bible that says you're not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together, that's confusion. And that idea of go to church if you want, don't if you don't, no big deal, that's the religious world, and that's what they're saying. Okay? But that's confusion, because that's not what God says. It's not the truth. It's not rightly dividing. Read verse 26 and 27.
For if we sin willfully...
What's a willful sin?
You know you're sinning yourself.
You know you're doing it? You willingly do it? Okay, keep going.
After that, we have received the knowledge of the truth. There remains.
Did you catch that? After we've received the knowledge of the truth, if we willfully sin, keep going.
There remaineth no more sacrifice or sins.
What happens if there's no sacrifice for sins? You're lost. Keep going. Sorry, I keep interrupting you, but I do it for a reason.
That's okay. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fury and
indignation
which shall devour the
adversary. Yeah, it's a pretty scary passage, okay? But that shows us the confusion, okay? Guys, we need to come together on what the Bible says. And one of the things that I know in my teaching, I try to be very careful to have people look at the scriptures. I make it a point to not tell people what the Bible says. Now, we get in a public deal and it's not quite as easy to teach in that particular manner. But all of us, we've done a lot of studying together and you can look at it. But you know, when I teach people, I just have them look at it. Okay? And I asked them what it says. And we don't have any trouble until they don't like what it says. The Bible's clear. And when we start arguing with what the Bible actually says, it's called confusion. Fornication, spiritual fornication. It's ungodliness. And on the judgment day, it'll be known. We need to come together. Let's get rid of pride and all attitudes that are not conducive to humility before God. Let's just give in. Guys, it doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter who you're friends with. It doesn't matter what social class you live in and what social class you want to fit into. It doesn't matter how much money you have or don't have. It doesn't matter what kind of car you drive. What matters is what Jesus says. Don't explain it away. Don't try to say, well, it doesn't really mean that. I've heard that 100 times, 1,000 times. But let's rightly divide. And let's make sure we're on the way. We will not be on the way if we don't follow what it says. We are party to the harlot. And we will be lost. The judgment day will come. We're out of time. Thank you.